For his age, he is wise. He's got his mother's eyes. There's gladness in his heart. He's young and he is wild. My only prayer is if I can't be there. Lord, oh Lord, protect my child.
Welcome back to the second hour of Parenting the Addict Child. This is Layla Fatima, your host for the first edition of Parenting the Addict Child with Recovery Talk Network. I will be here every Thursday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. California time. It is midnight in the East Coast, if you're listening to us on the East Coast. And our topic for the evening is parenting myths. When is it ever safe for our children to engage in alcohol and marijuana? And my guests with me the first hour are George and Debbie, who have shared some very, very important information and experiences that they've had with their own children, and not only that, but with other parents as well. And I'd like to bring them back into the show here. And the topic, George, Debbie, welcome back. What I'd like to discuss here in the next hour is how we actually, as a society and parents, get into this thinking where it's actually okay because it's really not that bad. And a story comes to mind of a really absolutely wonderful young man who I had the great privilege of him sharing some information with me. And he said that, you know, Layla, when I was growing up, he said, my mother thought that it was okay for me to drink as long as I drank in the home, because then it was safe. And she actually went to the extent of putting a refrigerator in his room stocked with beer. So, you know where everyone's child was that was interested in having a cold one before dinner. And I wouldn't be surprised if my children were there. But you know what ends up
happening? My daughter was probably there.
Yeah, I know. You're probably right.
We are using first names only, though, right?
Okay. Exactly. Right. And you know what's interesting is that as parents, and Debbie, I know that being the mother of four children, having the experience with your eldest son, you did your due diligence after having that experience, as well as I did with my eldest, and then having, you know, my youngest. Having to manifest his own addictions. But we do our due diligence, and we think, you know, if the parents are there, we talk to the parents, we ask if there's going to be alcohol, who's going to be there, if they're underage, so on and so forth. And, you know, in this young man's case, you could talk to the mom and she'd tell you, yeah, I'm going to be here, and I'm supervising. But she may fail to tell you that she has a refrigerator stocked in the bedroom full of beer for all the kids that are coming by. And I can guarantee you that when that beer runs out, they're not stopping there. They don't just stay drinking in the home or smoking pot in the home. They're going to go out and they're going to continue to do it. Debbie, does this experience bring up any memories for you?
Well, it does. And before I share that, I would just say that that mother's statement that it's safe as long as it's in her home shows her lack of understanding of the nature of addiction, and that addiction is a brain disease. And so she seems to imply with that kind of thinking that if they stay in the home, they can't go out and, you know, get in a car accident or something at all. But it's ignoring what's happening to the child's brain with the alcohol or the marijuana, whatever is being allowed, because it does change brain chemistry, and especially for the addict. So my experience was that my kids have always hated that I call ahead when they go to a party and I don't know the family. I call ahead to ask about if there's going to be parental supervision, and I did this again on another one of my children, and asked specifically if there was going to be alcohol there. It was a birthday party that happened to be on New Year's Eve, because that was the friend's birthday. And the mother assured me that, no, there was not going to be alcohol there, and that there would be adults present, that they were planning to be there, and I really did not need to worry. And this, let me tell you, Layla, this is a wonderful family. I have associations with this family. I don't know them, but a great, upstanding family in our community. And so I was shocked to find out after that New Year's night that there had been alcohol at that party, and many of the girls there were 15 years old. And that not only that, but the parents had left for a while to out and celebrate on their own, and had left a 20-year-old with them. But, of course, that didn't stop or prohibit any of their partying. And as you said, the alcohol or the drugs doesn't stop in the home because the alcohol went into a limo that they were in for that evening. And when I called back, and I was very angry, and upset with the mother, and spoke with her, and her response was she was very sorry that it happened. She was not first at all aware or did not believe it had happened as much as I described to her. But her concern was it really wasn't that big of a deal that alcohol had been there, but she was more apologetic that I was upset and that something had happened that I had questioned her about that she had assured me would not. So,
you know, that's amazing. And it's amazing to me, but I have to sadly admit that is probably more common than we'd like to think. George, have you ever experienced anything along those lines when confronting parents? Because our children don't always drink and do drugs alone.
Oh, sure.
You know, and we're having to pull in other parents. And, you know, I've had experiences where parents have looked at me like I'm a troublemaker for standing there and saying, I'm sorry, I have an issue with the fact that my children are engaging in this, or that I may not know where they're at or who they're with. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, being a single parent, I've worked double time to watch these boys and do everything that I can. And, you know, the end result is definitely, I think, favorable because they're both alive. But yeah. Does this sound like it's something that you've experienced?
Oh, absolutely. And I think for all those parents who think they're doing the right thing by being in a position where they can control what's going on and they can, and it's in the safety of their own home. Well, I think Debbie and yourself, you know, pointed out some of the incorrect thinking on that, because obviously they drink and then they go out, and that you can't control that.
Right.
Furthermore, and I like Debbie's point about not understanding the nature of addiction, and perhaps in the non-addict child, that might be okay. They might have one or two beers, and that might be the end of it. But in the case of my daughter, who's an alcoholic, as I mentioned, she wouldn't stop with one or two beers. As a matter of fact, her point to me was, Dad, I don't really understand at all people who drink beer. Vodka gets you drunk so much faster. It's the nature of the beast. I mean, you know, it's a much more efficient way to get drunk by downing a whole bottle of vodka and blacking out. And so what does a parent do in that situation when they find themselves with a child who's underage, who has passed out in their living room? And again, you know, all those other things that we discussed about inconsistent messages, mixed messages, I think it's just a terrible travesty. The one final point I want to make is that I have had personal experience with this growing up, because in my family, this was how my parents, you know, their philosophy was, if you're going to drink, you might as well drink here. And so as a result, my brother and sisters all grew up in that kind of a household where my mom and dad were buying booze for us, who were, you know, my kid, for their kids and our friends who were all underage. And I can tell, you know, I can count on, you know, one hand the number of times that we stayed home after drinking. I mean, you know, after that it was going out and going somewhere else, and they couldn't control it. And the sad thing is that to this day, I have members of my family who believe that that's okay. And, you know, there's a great line from The Godfather, the source of all wisdom in the universe, by the way, where Don Corleone, you know, he's asked about, you know, this business of illegal drugs and getting into the heroin trade. And, you know, Marlon Brando dramatically, you know, taps his finger on the table. He says, "It was wrong now and it was wrong then," you know, and that's, I think, the parents are so afraid of being hypocritical by saying, "Well, you know, I used to drink and, you know, my parents said it was okay if I drank in the home and I turned out okay. And, you know, and I can't be a hypocrite." Well, again, you know, Don Corleone, you know, it was wrong then and it's wrong now.
George, I have to tell you, I love your impersonation. I think I need to make sure we get that a copy of that for you. That's excellent. and, you know, you brought up a really good point, and as you both have, and this is just, you know, the dialogue that we're having here and the parents that are listening, there's several things that I want to point out, is that when we do see a child of ours maybe blacked out or passed out in the living room from drinking or using, you know, drugs, I think that in some cases, in more cases than not, there's an element of fear that kicks in and then sometimes the denial. And there's often so much emphasis placed on the denial of an addict and an alcoholic, and I have to tell you that it runs rampant through the parent community. Parents do not want to see what's right in front of them for fear of one having to look at, you know, they think, and this is the perception, that they think they did something. And then also admitting that there is a problem will have to force them to take action. And a lot of times it's a lot easier to sit back and just say, well, they'll outgrow it. And then that's not what happens. And this is what I call the Russian roulette syndrome. George, you grew up in a family where everything, you know, your parents bought the alcohol, you all sat around and you had your happy hour together. And then that doesn't always necessarily mean that everyone or every child is going to come out of this okay.
Amen.
And I want to clarify that more when we come back from a break here with Layla Fatima at Parenting the Addict Child. But I want to talk about that Russian roulette syndrome. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Hector Luis Bustamante from the hit series The Shield. As an actor, image is everything. Well, I had considerable hair loss and it jeopardized that image. Then I went to see medical hair restoration. I sat with the doctor. They explained my options, showed me photos. I even got to meet someone who had the same procedure. It was all education and zero pressure. And now, 9 months later, I look like I did 10 years ago. And my career is flourishing. If you're losing your hair, you've got some exciting options out there. And MHR is your total hair loss partner. From hair restoration to hair loss fighting products, even the new FDA clear laser technology. The only thing you'll be disappointed about is why you waited so long. Give them a call right now.
Write this number down, toll free, 800-798-1929, 800-798-1929. It's not a question of if anymore, it's a question of when. When will you regrow your hair? Call now for your free DVD package, 800-798-1929, 800-798-1929.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, "Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up," protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0362. 1-800-410-0362. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0362.
I need to know that things are gonna look up.
to Parenting the Addict Child with Layla Fatima. This is our first night here with Recovery Talk Network. And I absolutely love that song. I need to know that things are going to look up. And that's why we're here, because I think that collectively, myself and just my two guests alone, we definitely can say that things can look up in spite of some real difficult times. We are here, and we have a caller with us this evening, Debbie from Michigan. Hi, Debbie. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, I'm so glad I was able to get through.
Great, great. So what can we do for you tonight?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little nervous. I never talked on the radio before.
Well, you know what? Just pretend nobody's listening.
Okay.
If that helps.
Yes, I hope so. I'm in a situation that has just completely devastated our family. I have two children. Mm-hmm. One, my son is 22, my daughter's 27, and they're both drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's choice of drug is heroin, and my son's choice is crack. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my son has been in and out of the court system since he's been 17, and it's just like I don't understand. For so many years, I never saw anything, and he was always doing good in school. And then when he got in his junior year, I started to see his grades fall, and just the sneakiness. And as a parent, you know, you don't want to believe that your child's doing anything wrong. So as a parent, you know, I'd go through his room and I would find things and I would confront him with it and he would deny that it was his. Well, it just kept getting worse and worse, and we got him into therapy, and it got so bad to the point that we had to rush him right from his therapy appointment down to Toledo, Ohio Hospital, because he was so bad into the crack. And at that time, he was 17. He never graduated from high school because he went to jail when he was in his senior year. And he's been in and out of jail since he's been 17. And my daughter, oh, my daughter.
Let me ask you this, Debbie, and I just want to comment here. What I'm hearing, and first of all, I just when I hear parents speak, this is when I wish I could be in the same room with you, because it sounds like, first of all, you just need a really big hug. This is so exhausting, and I can hear just the sheer exhaustion in your voice, and it's draining. This is what I refer to as that deep soul anguish.
Exactly,
and I can hear that in your voice. What I want to ask you is, you know, my son, my eldest, has been incarcerated numerous times and is what I like to call a mandatory participant in our local drug court program. And there is hope. So I want to make sure that you hear that when I say that there is hope, that regardless of their circumstances and what they do, and the parents that I have here as guests tonight, it's to not give up. But I want to take exactly where you're at, and how can what we're doing here tonight, how can we help you? How can myself and my guests serve you? Because we could talk, all of us could talk for hours about what our children are doing. But the purpose of what this show is to empower you, is to give you information and give you strength and inspiration and hope that, one, you're not alone.
Well, that's the thing. For so many years, I thought I was alone. I would go to Narcanon meetings by myself, just trying to learn things. And, you know, my daughter...
Well, what do you do to help yourself right now?
I do is I'm in therapy.
Good for you.
I'm in therapy for that, and also I'm disabled because I had 3 back operations.
Mm-hmm.
And my children were never there for me, and I just felt completely alone. And to ease my pain, I write poetry.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I'm hoping to get my poetry published. I've had quite a few people tell me.
That is beautiful.
My therapist has told me you need to get this published because it could help somebody.
You know what, Debbie? I want to thank you for calling us tonight, and I certainly hope you do keep us posted with your progress, and to remember that you are not alone. And we're going to come back right after this break with Parenting the Addict Child at Recovery Talk Network.
How do you feel? Where are your views on what you're hearing? Give us a call and share them with us at CRN Digital Talk. It's toll-free from anywhere in the USA, 1-800-336-2225. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-336-2225. Join us today on CRN Digital Talk. We're here for you, 1-800-336-2225.
I admitted I was powerless over my addiction, that my life had become unmanageable. I had tried to quit on my own, but it never worked. In Narcotics Anonymous, I learned that it is possible to stop using drugs.
Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help.
Hello?
Hey, this is your cell phone.
Huh?
You know, you treat me like a kid.
What?
Oh, sure, you've cut the cord, but you don't realize how much I've grown up. I can do speed dial, text messaging, voicemail, video, wireless internet.
Yeah.
I can even help you keep your kid off drugs.
Keep my kid? How?
You talked to your son about not smoking marijuana, right?
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, some other people are telling him something different. Here, let's send him a text message. Ask him what he's up to.
Good idea. Let's do it.
Staying in touch. The Anti-Drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hi, this is Keith and Charmy Amber, just exploding with new perspectives.
And sound answers to life's tough questions.
Check out Mastering Ourselves on CRN 1, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern.
We're spiritual lifestyle experts offering an intriguing journey where you end up more at home with yourself, your behavior, and your understanding of life.
So come on.
You can do it.
Stretch into
the greater you
on Mastering Ourselves.
I'm looking at you through the glass, don't know how much time has passed. Oh God, it feels like forever, but no one ever tells you that forever feels like home, sitting all alone inside your head.
Welcome back to Parenting the Addict Child. I'm your host, Layla Fatima. And we are discussing many different topics here at Recovery Talk Network, and we do encourage people to call at 800-336-2225. And I just want to thank our last caller for being courageous enough to open up and share her grief. And I think that we can all relate to that for those of us that have been in this situation. I want to go back to my guests here, George and Debbie, and touch on again what we were discussing about that Russian roulette, you know, and the parents thinking that it's okay. And George, your parents, you know, actually purchased the alcohol for you in the home. Debbie, had you ever experienced anything like that growing up in your family or perhaps your husband's family?
You know, neither of our families was alcohol given to us as a, you know, as a to have a party or whatever. That wasn't true in our home.
Did you ever know where your son was actually obtaining his alcohol?
You know what? I did not. Hmm. I did not know where he was getting it.
That's interesting, isn't it? George, did you find out where your daughter, I mean, at such a young age, that's amazing.
Yeah, actually, I did find out where she was taking it. We had a bar, and this bar was fully stocked. This is in our home.
Okay.
I'm glad to say that today it's a coffee bar.
Starbucks at George's house, right?
Yes, we remodeled the house completely, and we decided that it would become a little mini Starbucks, and that's what it is. But back then, again, you know, I just had a bar. When people would come over, I would have a drink. I would make a drink for someone. I mean, it was nothing out of the ordinary. We're blessed in the fact that neither my wife or I have a drinking problem, that gene skipped the generation, because my father was an alcoholic and my wife's a father is an alcoholic. And so,
wow, interesting.
So just kind of skip the generation there. But the long and the short of it is I had a pretty good stockpile of booze from a cruise that my wife and I had taken 20 years plus ago, you know, and on all this booze I had a scotch and whiskey and all this stuff out in the open. And what would happen is my daughter would sneak downstairs and drink, and sometimes she would take a bottle and fill up a water bottle with it and drink. And this was our first experience in terms of how she began drinking. Once we got into a rehab program, I remember taking all that booze and subsequently pouring it all down the drain, it was just one of those things that just, the lucidity is such a strange thing. I mean, once the light bulb goes off, you go, what?
Right.
That, how could that happen? But that's right. how it happened in my experience. And then certainly from there, I think every parent should know this, that most probably realizes that drugs and alcohol can be gotten at almost any time, at any place. And
right.
It's just so easy to get. And so the scary thing as my daughter started to progress in her drinking and hanging out with friends and whatnot, they would go on these booze cruises where they would, go from liquor store to liquor store getting whatever kind of alcohol they could get, and driving in the process. So it's a very scary thing, and it's just so easy to get.
It is very easy to get, and it's interesting because I know that a lot of times people say that they just started hanging around the wrong group. My experience has been the drugs and the drug addiction actually selected my son's peer group. It was the behavior and the use of the drugs that selected the people he was going to associate with, mm-hmm. not necessarily the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true. And another thing that you mentioned, George, was that, your daughter said beer doesn't work fast enough. Vodka is more effective. And I was just sharing with Larry this evening that both of my sons were never very into alcohol. They went from marijuana, both at the age of 13, which escalated very quickly into pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
But my youngest shared something with me about a year and a half ago, and he said, I don't really care for alcohol. I'll drink it if it's around, but it doesn't work fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's such a similarity in our children. And my eldest son shared with, he knew that he was different when he was at a party and saw that people would do one or two lines of coke and he was gorging himself.
Yeah.
He knew he was different at that moment.
Yeah.
There was something wrong with him. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, and Layla, I'd like to speak to that because that is the craving of addiction. And
right.
When I referred earlier to it being a brain disease, some researchers have estimated that addicts who carry the gene for addiction have up to 30% less dopamine receptors, and those are just the parts of our brain that allow the feel-good chemical dopamine to, they receive it. So with the less ability to receive those feel-good feelings, and then they take a drug or a drink,
absolutely.
And that is just making them feel like you and I feel normal. And so the craving of addiction is a craving just to feel normal.
And that's lighting the fuse. And I want to pick up right there when we come back with Parenting the Addict Child. I'm your host, Layla Fatima, and we'll be right back after this.
Digital Talk.
Do you eat when you're not hungry? Do you eat to escape? Is your weight affecting your life? Is your life affecting your weight? Can you answer no to these questions? Thousands of other people can't either. See, you're not alone. If you're concerned about your eating habits, your relationship with food, or you think you suffer from compulsive eating, contact Overeaters Anonymous. We can help. After all, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0362. 1-800-410-0362. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0362.
Hi, I'm David Hasselhoff for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Two things that don't mix are drinking and driving. If you've been drinking, don't drive. Choose a designated driver. The life you save may be your own. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
I told that girl I just stopped right away. She said, listen, babe, I got something.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-768-0548. That's 800-768-0548.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-768-0548. Call now. 800-768-0548.
Your credit card debt is getting out of control. You're having trouble making the monthly minimums. Sound familiar? You have to do something, but what? Well, you don't have to file for bankruptcy. The mortgage brokers want you to put up your family home to pay off credit card debts. Problem is that more often than not, you find yourself using the credit cards again. Only this time, there's no equity left in your home, and you have a whole new pile of credit card debt. It doesn't have to be this way. We're Credit Card Relief. We help people just like you get out of debt in months instead of years and save you thousands of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. We're an attorney-driven program with an excellent reputation. The consultation is free and the relief is real.
Call 1-866-994-4646. That's 1-866-994-4646. Not available in all states. 1-866-994-4646.
Welcome back to Parenting the Addict Child. This is Layla Fatima, your host. And that song right there is by an amazing group, Stained, called Outside. I'm dedicating that to my eldest son. It's one of his favorites. Not that I'm getting into the music DJ business here. I'd like to welcome you all back. This is Parenting the Addict Child, and we are Recovery Talk Network. And you can also reach us at recoverytalknetwork.com and also parentingtheaddictchild.com. Our guests this evening are George and Debbie, and they are parents that have a great deal of experience and knowledge and wisdom to share with us. And our topic this evening is marijuana and alcohol and parenting myths and how sometimes it's considered rites of passage. And where we left off before the break was about lighting that fuse. And I think, Debbie, you were making mention about the brain and the chemistry and how that addiction is ignited, which is a word I use quite frequently. Would you touch on that again?
Yes, and can I just mention that someone I found very interesting on this subject is Dr. Kevin McCauley. I think
excellent.
He's the addictiondoctor.com, and he goes in to explain how they have done research of when you inject a drug into someone's brain, the midbrain just lights up, and the midbrain is the very basic, instinctive base part of our brain and our actions. And the frontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that determines right and wrong and makes judgment decisions, literally goes black when there is a drug like cocaine injected into your brain. And just to illustrate the fact that that midbrain is the feel good, that's the part where we want to feel good. And we all want to feel good. And when alcohol or a drug is injected, you know, obviously ingested into an addict system, they are feeling good. And they're relieving, like all of us, we all try to relieve the tension or the anxiousness in our life in some way. But for the addict, there is literally a chemical reaction going on, and it spirals because then it begins even to change the brain even more.
You know, Boy, I tell you, thank you so much for articulating that so beautifully for parents out there. And that's something that I think George can relate to as well. We just noticed such a personality change in our children. And I always refer to it as just being hijacked. I've seen my sons hijacked by this disease. And, you know, that desire to feed that, it doesn't stop. And when we get into situations where marijuana and alcohol are considered okay or acceptable, and here's where I really want to challenge parents out there when they're engaging in this and they think that it may be harmless. You know, my sons had their fuse lit when they were 13, but you couldn't see it on the outside. This was something that was triggered internally, and then that lit fuse became that demon that they needed to feed, and it escalated because pot wasn't enough anymore, and then pills were no longer enough. And then once they started engaging in cocaine, then that wasn't enough, and it escalates from there. And they were just merely smoking pot, hanging out, having a beer. Everything was very innocent, and I happen to know as well that they've actually been in adults' homes when this was happening, when they were in their early stages of their addiction. George, does this sound like anything you have experienced as well?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, first of all, the one thing that's so, and you know, so good about this program and this kind of discussion is that it raises the awareness level of people, because when I first was faced with this beast, I didn't know that much about it. I didn't really understand alcoholism. I didn't understand addiction and all. I've since subsequently come to learn that it is a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual problem, and you can't attack this just in one dimension. You have to look at all those four modalities in terms of how you get to the root problem here. I think Debbie did a great job of explaining the addictive, you know, physical slash mental nature of the disease, and also the one thing that also, just to play on that a little bit, is that what goes hand in glove with that is also the emotional and spiritual side of that as well, because I know for a fact that and even once you go into rehab. They can, you know, once you've, I think, been clean for something like, I believe it's on order of 90 days or so, that as far as your body's concerned, the chemical that, you know, whatever drug or, you know, you had inside of you is no longer there. It's no longer present. However, the emotional connection to that drug, the experience that you had with it when that, you know, they always say that, you know, the addicts are chasing their first high. But the emotional connection to that, it alleviated my pain, that it made me numb. In the case of my daughter, she never She never had the experience like that I had when I drank and I was in a social setting or a social environment and I would drink and it, you know, I'd loosen up and I'd feel good and all that kind of stuff. My daughter never drank or used drugs for that matter. She used it to numb herself so that she wouldn't feel pain. And so that's her, you know, that's part of the addiction.
Right.
And I think most of these programs ultimately get to the root cause, which is also a spiritual issue. And the program is very clear about accepting everyone. It has to do with a higher power. Whatever that higher power is, it's the higher power of your understanding. So that allows for tolerance. That allows for all religions and all, you know, and various forms of beliefs. And it can be whatever it is, something larger than yourself, I think, is what most of these programs teach us. The one final thing I'll leave you with, and just based on this subject alone, is what I learned in the fact of this midbrain and frontal cortex issue is, again, the way Debbie described it very eloquently in terms of how that affects the addict. The irony is that that's also, in an extension, how it affects the codependent, the parent.
Oh.
Our obsession is our addict. And therefore, when we get into our disease, our cortex shuts down and our midbrain takes over and then we start acting like crazy people.
George, can you see me bowing to you right now? This is Layla with Parenting the Addict Child, and we're going to be right back after this.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom81.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs to now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom81.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 81.com. Freedom81.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies, regardless of your current health condition. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they may have been. You'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars on your health care every year, call Qualified Health. Call 888-600-3005. That's 888-600-3005. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind, so if you don't have insurance or you're underinsured, call Qualified Health now. Call 888-600-3005.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Layla Fatima with Parenting the Addict Child. That was Lila James. And if I could sing, that is what I would want to sound like. We have our guests here this evening, George and Debbie. And I believe right before break, I was taking a bow to you, George, for your comment. And I think both of you can definitely and safely say that the addict and the alcoholic child do become our obsession. And the codependency and that difference between control and influence becomes blurred. The lines between that and our manipulation, all in the name of good, escalates beyond anything I think that most people even can fathom. The things that I've done, the detective work that, and I think I've said this before in the past, that if I wanted to hire a private investigator, it would be the parent who has absolutely no treatment or recovery that has a child in full-blown addiction or alcoholism. Because they have the nose of a bloodhound. So I can definitely agree with you on that. I want to go back to this control versus influence when we're finally confronted with our children's drinking and using drugs. How do you find that initially, and I want to start with Debbie, how did you find initially you coped with this versus to where you're at now after experiencing fellowship and groups that have given you that strength and courage? Can you describe that for us?
Well, in the midst of my son's drinking, I try to control and to give consequences that would not allow any, I thought, any more drinking. They would be hard enough, and trying to breathalyze and search rooms and...
What was your procedure for breathalyzing? Did you go out and buy one, or did you do the what I used to do, the come give mom a kiss?
And, well, I started with that. Like every night he came home, he would have to do that.
Yeah.
But and he was never late for a curfew. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking these things are, I'm not worrying that much. He may be drinking, but he's never late for a curfew. But then we did go out and finally get a breathalyzer, and then we had irrational discussions when there was a reading on the breathalyzer, and him saying that it was wrong and us believing him. You know, you mentioned earlier denial. The power and the intensity of denial for a parent is sky high, and we definitely lived that and experienced that. And it didn't help, did it? He ended up, you know, with the DUI. And I'd say in contrast to today, I think the only way... When you talk about giving up control, that slogan, let go and let God, I never realized that, but that's an AA slogan. And I don't think you can really admit your powerlessness, which is the first step of the 12 steps, and let go of your control until you know that you are letting go to a power greater and higher than yourself. And that is also, that is in the third step. Of the 12 steps, and knowing that I could let go to a power, for me, a God that is loving and caring and always there and at work in my child's life, allowed me to begin to let go of the control, and knowing that I wasn't letting him into this void of chaos and whatever might happen. So that really is the foundation for me to continue to let go, because, Layla, even though my son has been sober for several years, the parent of an addict child lives with the reality that their child will live with this disease until the day they die, whether they are active or sober, and that there is the possibility of relapse at any time.
Absolutely. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think you and I have shared discussions on that. And, you know, do we have a caller here, gentlemen? Is that what I'm being told? We have a caller here that we'd like to go ahead and take. Hi there.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, my name is Shane Ross. I'm calling from Sacramento, California. I just wanted to call and show my support to what you guys are doing.
Great. Thank you, Shane. Thank you for joining us tonight. How did you hear about us?
Actually, through MySpace.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. See, it's not always used for people to make connections with drugs.
Yes.
I just want to point that out. thank you for calling. Did you have anything you wanted to share with us this evening?
Well, you know, I'm not a parent myself, but my parents did love me and support me when they... A lot of times they should have, and a lot of times they shouldn't have. And without that, I don't think I could be clean and sober today. And I'm a chemical dependency counselor myself now, and I get to show other people how to stay sober themselves. So, you know, I appreciate what you guys are doing, and keep on doing it, because it's helping people.
You know what? Thank you so much. And Larry and I are both bowing to you now. I think we're going to have to get something up on the internet that shows that. but I want to also comment on thank you for your work, Shane, and for your call, because this takes a community. So thank you so much for calling us tonight. And please do keep us posted with your work.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Layla, I also want to mention that we got a call from someone else who was listening in. And George, she's listening as a parent, but remembered how when she was 14, she had a drinking problem. So she identifies as much with her story, not as only as a parent, but when she was a child. So thank you for that.
Excellent. And this is Layla Fatima, the host of Parenting the Addict Child with Recovery Talk Network. And we'll be right back after this.
How do you feel? Where are your views on what you're hearing? Give us a call and share them with us at CRN Digital Talk. It's toll-free from anywhere in the USA, 1-800-336-2225. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-336-2225. Join us today on CRN Digital Talk. We're here for you, 1-800-336-2225.
I was searching for an answer when I reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous.
Surrounded by fellow addicts, I realized I was not alone.
Recovery is what happens at NA meetings. It is possible to stop using drugs.
Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you considering bankruptcy? With the new bankruptcy laws, you may not qualify. There is another option. Call Financial Freedom of America for free information and learn how you can have your credit card bills reduced by up to 60%. You never have to pay back a penny of the debt that is settled for you. Let Financial Freedom of America show you how their proven debt reduction system can save you thousands or tens of thousands. They are experts at negotiating debt settlements and can wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. You need to have $10,000 or more in credit card debt to qualify for this program. Don't suffer from the burden and hardship of your overwhelming debts any longer. They'll do all the work for you. Call Financial Freedom of America today at 800-781-9713. That's 800-781-9713. For your free consultation, call Financial Freedom of America now, 800-781-9713.
Hi, this is Ms. Muggsy, your new psychic medium here on CRN Digital Talk. Call me Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-336-2225 for live sensitive readings and a better understanding of life's challenges. That's me, Ms. Muggsy, Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on CRN Digital Talk.
Sometimes it gets hard and you feel like you can't make it out. But when I was just a little girl, my mama told me, don't you worry, hold your head.
Welcome back. This is Layla Fatima with Parenting the Addict Child Recovery Talk Network. And we will be here every Thursday night from 8 p.m. I almost said 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 8 p.m. on Thursday evenings. And Recovery Talk Network is here five nights a week now. We've just expanded. And I'd like to welcome back our guests here before we wrap up at the top of the hour. And we've been discussing with George and Debbie, two parents, parenting myths and what's safe about alcohol and marijuana use in our children. And I just want to thank all of you for participating on this first night of Parenting the Addict Child. This is truly a labor of love, and as frightening as it is to share our stories, There, and I know some of you and George and Debbie who know me may find it surprising that I do get a bit taken aback sometimes because I'm very open about my experiences as a mother of two boys that have lived with this on some extreme levels, because sometimes I think that maybe people will take a step back and judge, but I know that the risk is definitely outweighed by the benefits here. So I want to thank both of you this evening, and I'd like to see if you have anything you'd like to share with us before we close here tonight about leaving our parents with a feeling of hope. George?
Well, for me, it's in the Serenity Prayer.
Oh, I love that. Excellent.
I say the Serenity Prayer, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when I'm running, when I'm thinking, when I'm working, whatever it is. But for those parents who haven't heard it, it's God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And if I synthesize that down, it's really about serenity, acceptance, change, courage, and wisdom. And those are the things that I find myself praying for more these days. And I think that by listening to this kind of discussion and by attending Al-Anon meetings and talking to other parents, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about hope. And I've heard somebody say that hope is hearing other people's experience.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you for that, George. And Debbie, how about you? What would you like to leave our parents and our callers with here tonight before we wrap up?
I really don't think I could say it any better than George just did.
Absolutely wonderful. You know what? I cannot thank both of you enough for coming here. And oh,
I can't thank you enough, Layla.
Oh, they're giving me flowers. This is so sweet. Oh, thank you so much. And I'm thrilled to be here. And Tomas, thank you so much. we're all bowing to one another. George, Debbie, I can't thank you enough. This is Layla Fatima with Parenting the Addict Child, and we're at Recovery Talk Network. We will be here every Thursday night, and my hat's off to both of you. This has been courageous, and I think that, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm at a loss for words. The flowers are absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Larry.
Let me just say, Layla, I'm so delighted to have you here and joining our network here on Thursday night on the Recovery Talk Network. Again, also to you, both of you, George and Debbie, thanks so much for participating and contributing your honesty. I know you've helped people. We've had a number of calls here tonight, people identifying. And Layla, I couldn't be happier about the work that you've done tonight, what you've done for yourself, for your sons, and what you're going to be doing for many, 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 many others by being here every Thursday night.
Thank you so much. And as we leave here tonight, I was very nervous about getting started, but this feels very natural, and I'd like to attribute that to all the people that have supported me to get here, and I would like to include both of my sons in that. They are amazing young men, and they're very near and dear to my heart, and we're in this together, as we all are. George, Debbie, thank you so much. And this is Layla Fatima with Parenting the Addict Child, and we'll see you next Thursday when we discuss how much is too much and relationships and finances with our children. Thank you and good night.